or someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Right, as we continue in our discussions on real money, let's all read from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So you remember where we stopped? We're discussing about real money. And we took a look at the 20-pound note and read there, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of 20 pounds signed by the chief cashier of the Bank of England. So we made the point that real money is not the paper, it's the value that it represents. That there was a time when people traded without money. But when it became cumbersome and a bit complex to carry out transactions, exchanging farm produce, money was invented. Gold coins, silver coins, cowrie shells, and eventually paper notes were invented to represent the value of the goods or products that we had at home. So you don't see the real money with your eyes because real money is value. Okay? And that brought us to this discussion on the fact that the most powerful containers of value are intangible. They are invisible. And that's why Hebrews 11 and verse 3 makes so much meaning for us. The things which are seen were not made from things that are visible. So when somebody really understands what wealth is, the person defines wealth more by the intangible than by the tangible, by the invisible than by the visible. And that is where Africa missed it and has been trying to build wealth on the wrong foundation, because our definition of wealth is material. We do not believe that a person is wealthy until the person has material wealth, physical cash, a big house, a big car, big clothes, and throws big parties. Because of our value for intangible wealth, we have missed out on the greater part of the wealth that God has given us as a continent and as a nation, and of course as individuals. So, I want to bring our minds back to the reality of the fact that intangible resources are powerful. And you cannot call someone who has those intangible resources poor. If you call yourself poor because you don't have money in the account, you are the one who is impoverishing yourself by your thinking. See, the unfortunate thing is that the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if he thinks he is poor, then he's poor. It doesn't matter how favorable his circumstances may be. We need to pay attention to those intangible resources at our disposal. Okay, we've asked ourselves the last time, how much did God have when he was creating the world? What resources did he use to create the world? And it's then Hebrews 11:3 which we read. True faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the biblical account of creation in Genesis 1 says, and God said, and God said, and God said. So we said words have value. Secondly, words come from thoughts. Therefore, thoughts have value. Thoughts are powerful. Thoughts are resources. I mean, if you knew that, you would not joke with your capacity for thinking. One of the greatest investments you can make in this life is to invest in your ability to think. Because to a large extent, the greatest resources you will use to create your wealth will come in the form of thoughts. Countries that value thoughts or ideas. And please remember that we said the last time that there is nothing that has value that man has created that did not begin as an idea in somebody's mind. Am I right? Countries that value ideas as resources invented towards intellectual property. Why? They discovered that ideas have as much value, if not more, than their material equivalent. Ideas have as much value as buildings. So before, you only got certificates or documents to confer ownership of landed properties on you. The United States, leading the way, designed laws that would confer on individuals the ownership of ideas. So they call them intellectual property. If it's your original idea, it is your intellectual property. So they discovered that you can sell, you can lease, you can rent an idea the way you can do a landed property. The wealthiest man in the world today, Bill Gates, is the wealthiest man not because of material wealth, but because of intellectual property, sir. The world has redefined wealth, and Africa has been left behind. So you have young enterprising people now setting up websites, and within 1 year, 2 years, they are multimillionaires or billionaires because of websites. Where is the internet? Oh my God. The world has tapped into the realm of the invisible. That's where real wealth is. So, you will observe, therefore, that in countries where value is placed on thought, they value plants. They value plants because plants are the product of thought. They value the future because the future is created in our thoughts. They value dreams. They talk about their national dreams. They talk about the dreams of their rulers or their leaders. But in our country, I seldom hear the word dream from leadership, because we don't value it. Of course, our leaders know that the best way to get the attention of the citizens is to say what they want to hear. And because the whole culture does not value intangible things, the only things that our leaders talk about are roads, hospitals, that they will construct roads, they will build hospitals, plans, thoughts, visions, dreams, the future. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says that the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. Plans, surely, that's Solomon speaking, produce plenty. And if Solomon talks about plenty, he sure knows what he's talking about. So, you check the major differences between wealthy people and poor people, and you will see the average wealthy person has plans, has goals written down. The person does calculations. The average poor person does not have a plan. Unfortunately for us, that's a national reality. The plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty. If ideas are powerful, if ideas have value, if they are intellectual property, then the equipment that produces the ideas must be valuable. Am I right? That's the mind, the human mind, the greatest minefield of the world, or the greatest mining field of the world, the human mind. So now, whereas the wealthiest people in the world used to be those who owned gold deposits, the wealthiest people in the world now are people who have intellectual property, people who dig gold from their minds. The human mind is powerful, has capacity to create, to invent, to design. So your wealth is tied to the use of your mind. I wonder sometimes why we don't think. Because it should be obvious to us that the people who move the greatest amount of money around our city are people who sit down in air-conditioned offices and move things with their pens. It's not the people who sweat the most. It's those who think the most. If we knew that, then we should invest in our thinking. I have observed that the people who pray and sweat the most while praying for money are those who have not invested in their capacity for thinking. I have seen people try to substitute such intense activity in prayer for the development of the mind. And I wish we would wake up and realize that our lives will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you want to pray, pray for a change in your thinking. We did mention time. Time as a resource. The wealthy part of the world values time. Who invented African time? That person had poverty mentality. Was trying to justify the lack of value that we attach to time. Time is a resource. When business people say time is money, they mean that time is a resource, a convertible resource. It's actually more than money. It is convertible. Time can be converted to love. If you will sit down, have intimate discussions with someone, and show the person attention and affection, time can be converted to love. It can be converted to intimate relationships. Time, therefore, can be converted to money. And there is no way you will develop the capacity to turn it into money if you can't measure its rate. So, when people in Europe discovered the connection between time and money, they invented the clock. Because if you can measure the rate at which time goes, then you'll be able to determine the rate at which you make money with time. Time is a convertible resource. How do you convert time to money? One, convert time to wisdom. In other words, you can convert time into the development of your thinking ability. That's what you do when you go to school. A student goes into the university and gives 6 straight years. Comes out and he's called a doctor. That student has converted 6 years into the ability to cure people of illnesses and diseases. And because of that ability, which is essentially centered in the mind, the person now has a right to earn money because the person can give out value in terms of curing sicknesses and diseases. So you convert time to wisdom. You convert time to a skill. And then the skill brings the money. Time is valuable. Poor people value money over time. They spend time trying to conserve money. Rich people spend money trying to conserve time. Example. 2 people want to travel from Lagos to Abuja. You get where I'm going. Okay? How much is it by flight? 16,000 naira. How much is it by road? 5,000. 4,000. 4,000. Okay, thank you. So, somebody looks at all the money at his disposal and says 16,000 naira. In fact, when he calculates the return fare, 32,000 naira compared to just 8,000 if he would go by road and come back by road. So he says, even if I have the 32,000, I am not going to spend. Is it not Abuja that I'm going? So he gets on the road. How many hours will it take from Lagos to Abuja? 12 hours. 10 hours. Okay, 10 hours. Good. So this other person goes to the airport, spends 16,000 naira, and he gets to Abuja 45 minutes. Okay, so he gets to Abuja in 45 minutes, quickly does whatever he wants to do, maybe in 2 hours, and takes another 45 minutes and is back in Lagos while the person who is trying to save money is still on the way to Abuja. Somebody says, but what if I don't have the money? No, that's what I'm talking about. It's okay. See, it's understandable if you cannot access the cash for now. But in your thinking, don't justify it. Just tell yourself, I'm going to get there. But that would be a better use of my time. There's coming a time when I'm going to move around at a faster rate. Okay? I want, at the right time, to initiate a crusade in this country for us to pay people per hour. You know, because it will force people in this environment to make a connection between their time and their money. Presently, we make no connection. That's why we waste time. In fact, it could restructure this country completely if we pay per hour. Every time you come in the morning, clock in. When you are leaving, clock out. At the end of the month, we calculate the number of hours that you work and we pay you per hour. This country will change. All those frequent excuses to go for naming ceremonies, to go for funeral ceremonies, to go for wedding ceremonies, during office hours, and certainly at the end of the month, your salary will still be complete. Everything will change. Then some people will, you know, get the wisdom to discover that sometimes it would actually be better for you to put money in an envelope and to send it. Somebody is walking past, a friend just walking past, sees the signboard of your office, sees the signage of the office and remembers you, that it's been quite a while since he saw you, excuse me. He remembers it's been quite a while since he saw you, and he decides to come into your office. He says, you see, I was just passing by. I just remember I've not seen you for some time. How are you now? It's been quite a while. Wow, you're looking fresh. What have you been eating? Wow, that's interesting. So how's your dad? How's your mom? How about your granddad and your grandmommy? Oh, my own grandmommy died. She died 3 years ago. It's been quite a while. You know, we've not been seeing for some time. If they paid you per hour, in the first place, even your boss will not allow you to use the time you are being paid for to entertain visitors. Anyone who wants to entertain visitors, you go do that at home. If you are paid in the office, you are paid to be productive. You are paid to produce value in exchange for the money. So, when your friend has nothing to do and comes by while you are trying to do something productive, trying to turn your 1 hour into money, when your friend comes by and takes 1 hour of your time, you will know it's not just time that you give the person, you just give your money away. And then, you see, it will help even our relationships. It will help our decision making, because then you will know whether the activity or the person deserves your 1 hour or not. I'll ask you to do something when you get home today. Write down your income now per month. Write down the number of hours that you work per month. And divide your income by the number of hours that you work per month. Then you will see what 1 hour of your working time is worth presently. So when somebody takes 1 hour or wants to take 2 hours, you know, around here, I see so many people make demands on my time. I understand it's okay. But people don't realize when they take my time, they take one of my most valuable resources. If I give you a car, I can buy another one. Excuse me, if I give you 1 hour of my time, I can never recover it. Once it's gone forever, sir. Time is a resource that can never be replaced once it is expended. So listen to me. When you waste your time, you are not just wasting your time, you are wasting your money and you are wasting your life. Dr. Maris Munro said, Some people say they're just trying to kill time. Because they don't have anything to do, they have some time to kill, so they're trying to kill time. He says, killing time is not murder, it's a suicide. Time is a resource. But I'm just trying to get us to realize, once you start thinking this way, you will be surprised how wealthy you are. And that you may have been broke or poor because you thought you were poor, but you're not. You're too blessed to be poor. When we talk about time, you know the exciting thing? Almighty God has given to all human beings, irrespective of their status, the same amount of time. Wow! Isn't this God just? Isn't He fair? Equal amount of time. So what are you going to do with it? You have some things that you call values. Still describing intangible wealth. Values. We've said real wealth is value. So then you have some concepts that you describe as your values. They are principles that you have adopted as your personal standards. So some people value love. Some value recreation. Some value financial independence. Okay? But you've adopted something as your personal standard. Let's talk about honesty. Integrity. People don't know. Many people don't realize that when you have honesty as a personal standard, a personal policy, that it is wealth, intangible wealth, which ultimately can be converted to cash. If you're sitting here tonight and you have a millionaire, and two people come to you with similar proposals, each of them wants half a millionaire to do business, and they promise to return the money in 2 weeks with 20% interest on top of your money. What will determine your willingness to give your half a millionaire out? Their integrity. Their ability to keep their promises. The less you trust a person, the less your money is likely to flow from you to them. Am I right? So which means that honesty or integrity is something that somebody can take to the place of exchange. The way people used to carry tomatoes and potatoes to the market, somebody can take honesty to the market and go back home with money. I wish this country understood that. Then our young people and even the older ones will not destroy their character and their reputation because they want to get money. The less integrity you have, the poorer you are. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1 in the Bible. It says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Loving favor rather than silver and gold. Where there is honesty, where there is integrity, there is trust. Am I right? Trust. In the economic world, trust is called social capital. It's capital, sir. Social capital. So when there is trust, you can carry out transactions. Then I can sell my goods without getting cash in return, because the person who is buying my goods has promised to bring my cash. The collateral that the person uses is his honesty or his integrity. When there is trust in the place of financial transactions, it increases the velocity of money. There's something you call the velocity of money, the rate at which money travels. When there is a high velocity, then you can make a lot of money with little investment. Somebody invests 1,000 naira. He buys a product. He sells it for 1,200. But then he is able to sell 10 pieces a day. So, and he has only 1,000 naira to start with. So he buys one, sells it, goes back, buys one, sells it, buys one, sells it. Of course, with time, he can then buy two or buy three at a time. But the point is, if he does that for 10 days, he'll make a lot of money. And somebody can invest 50,000 naira and sell only one item in a month. 50,000 investment compared to 1,000 investment, yet the person with 1,000 investment makes more money. That's what velocity of money does. It multiplies the rate at which we create wealth. When there is honesty, when there is trust, it increases the velocity of money. When there is no trust, it slows down the velocity of money, which is what we have in our society today. See? Because of lack of trust, we carry out transactions, most transactions in our country, with cash. It's slowing us down. The world has left that point. They use cards. They use checks. Because real money is not the paper. It's value. And you can decide to carry that value in different ways. So there are some parts of the world where you can walk into a shop and pay for goods with a check. That makes it easier, doesn't it? Oh yeah. So even if you don't have cash in your pocket, if you have your checkbook, you can drop your check and go home with the clothes. Can you try that in Nigeria? Now, you know the interesting thing? A few people still do that in this country. Because I do it. And it is because whoever it is who is offering the service or the product knows that I will not lie. It's possible. But when, as a society, trust is eroded, all of us become poor for it. Your integrity is money. Let me add one other thing. I could go on and on, just describing. But the main point I'm trying to make is, real money is not the paper. Real money is intangible. The most powerful resources on this earth are invisible. They are intangible. If you want to be free from the curse of Africa, you have to shift your thinking. Shift your definition of wealth from the material to the intangible. The ultimate resource on this planet is human life. Human life, sir. Human life. The most valuable asset that God placed on this planet. The human being. So I have observed that the wealthy countries in the world put value on people. I see an absurdity in Africa. I see people who value money over people. That's why people carry out rituals in Africa. Somebody kills another human being, takes out the heart, takes out the liver, in order to make a charm that will produce money is a fool. You will never be rich. Truly rich. When I read the newspapers, I see that most of the people who do those things are wretched. No. If we valued human beings, sir, so listen to me. Anyone who does not value you is making you poor. The person will never create an environment for you to attract the material equivalent of what you are worth. Our social services will change. Everything will change. We look at our roads in this country and it's like we don't understand why we should construct roads. We were traveling on the road some few months back, and I told the person who was driving, I said, it seems as if people from the developed world came to force roads on us. Because we didn't have those tarred roads before. So, if we don't want the roads, let's scrape all the asphalt and go through the bush like we used to do before. If we want roads, let's make roads. If there was value on human life, we would understand standards and why in some parts of the world there are vehicles you can never see on the road. They will be arrested. In fact, now you don't need to emit visible smoke. They have equipment on the road measuring invisible smoke. They are measuring your emission level. Here, we have vehicles emitting carbon monoxide in unusual quantities. Air that human beings would inhale. We don't understand why hospitals are important and why they should be properly equipped. There is no amount of money that is too much to expend to save one life, sir. One. Did you hear what Jesus said in Mark chapter 8? What will it profit a man? That's verse 36. If he gains the whole world and loses his own soul. In the estimation of Jesus, one human soul is worth more than the whole of the material world put together. Did you hear me? Your soul, in the eyes of God, is worth more than the whole material world put together. I know you live in a country where a rich man's car has more value than the life of a human being. You must not accept this environment. Or you must not allow this environment to define your value. If not, you will be devalued. Let God value you. Let God define who you are. In the eyes of God, you are worth more than all the money in this country put together. If somebody wants to treat you below your dignity, you don't take it. Except if you think you are poor. They treat us like shit, we take it. Somebody treats you like a nobody, you stand there shivering, you take it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole material world and loses his soul? So that is one of the major foundation laying blocks of developed nations. They put value on human life. They would do anything. Fly an helicopter, fly a plane, do anything to save one life. Anyway, it is through the use of the mind that we realize the potentials, the greatest potentials of material resources. You can have gold, silver, iron ore, you can have oranges, you can have timber, you can have animals, you can have anything. It is when you bring in the use of the mind that the best value, the intrinsic value in each resource can be powerfully realized. People who value intangible resources will always be more prosperous than those who value material resources alone. I'll say that again. People who value intangible resources will always be more prosperous than those who value material resources alone. In Genesis chapter 25, I have an illustration. Two brothers, twins, Esau and Jacob, go into a transaction. And I want you to see what they traded by barter. In Genesis 25 from verse 29, it says, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please, feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to him." He sold. It was trading, wasn't it? He sold his birthright to him, and Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. He despised the intangible. So, I don't know if you've thought deeply before about this transaction. Somebody has food, and the other one comes in and says, "I want this food." The one with the food is a thinker, smart. He says, "Oh no, you don't get nothing. You don't get something for nothing." That's life, isn't it? So anybody who thinks that he will get money without bringing anything that has value, no product, no service, you won't solve any problem for anybody, you think you will get money, congratulations. When you're through deceiving yourself, you can come back and do the real thing. It does not work that way. So Jacob says, "Mister, you can't get the food for free. There's got to be an exchange. This food has value. It cost me something to produce it." And then he says, "Let me suggest to you what you should sell, what you should bring to the market. I give you the beans or the stew. You give me your birthright." Ask the person sitting next to you, "What's birthright?" Because it sounds like big English. You understand? What's birthright? The right to take the father's inheritance or properties when the father dies. And that right in Israel went to the firstborn. And though they were twins, Esau came out first. So he was going to get the greater part of their father's goods someday in the future, when the father would die. The man was not dead yet. So the birthright was intangible. It was a future promise. Isn't that interesting? Jacob valued the future promise something that he couldn't hold yet, more than the tangible, than the visible. Esau valued the visible more than the invisible, and he valued the present more than the future. So the transaction happened, and they went their way, and Esau was happy. And then someday, when that future arrived, Isaac said, I'm about to go. Then he called Esau because he was not aware of the transaction. But you cannot break God's laws, the laws that control the universe. Listen to me, you can't break those laws. You can only break yourself against the laws. So the law kicked in. What a man sows, that he shall reap. And the mother, to her, because she favored Jacob more, quickly hinted him, your father wants to release the blessing. He sent your brother out to get food. You go ahead, prepare the meat, give your father, and take the blessing. For a long time, they taught us in church that Jacob was a crooked guy, crooked fellow, bad fellow, cheat. Who was the cheat in this transaction? The person who took the porridge or the stew and still wanted to take the birthright. There was a transaction. But I'm making a point that the people who value the intangible, value visions, dreams, knowledge, ideas, plans, time, ultimately will be more prosperous than those who value only material resources. And that's so visible in our world today. Japan has literally nothing. And it has one of the most powerful economies in the world. It takes raw materials, material resources from people that have them, adds ideas to them, produces things in mass quantities, cars, equipment, and all of that, sells them, and is one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Wow. No wonder in Matthew chapter 6, you read verses 31 to 33, Jesus said, don't worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. Those are material things, aren't they? He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be, and the material will come. If you have the intangible, the tangible is coming. John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Okay. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said something. When you make investments, he said you should lean in a particular direction. Matthew 7 from verse 19. Hope I got it. It's Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said something in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 19. He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. What was he saying? Build more intangible wealth than the tangible. If all your wealth is only tangible, if somebody steals it, you're in trouble. If your wealth is intangible and it produces, in the first place, nobody can steal the intangible. Am I right? Oh, thank you, Lord. That reminds me of the story that I had many years ago, a joke really, of the man who was coming from the crusade ground. And on the way, he met armed robbers. And you know what armed robbers used to say many years ago in this country was, your money or your life. So they pointed the gun at the man and said, your money or your life. Ah, he said, I'm sorry, I don't have any. He said, are you stupid? Your money or your life? He said, I don't have any. He said, look at this man. This man is a stupid man. Said, your money or your life? Who shoot you? He said, I don't have any. I don't have any. Check my pockets. I don't have any money. I'm just coming from a crusade ground. They asked us to give an offering there. I gave everything in my pocket. At the end of the service, the evangelist asked for people who wanted to give their lives to Christ. I gave my life to Christ. I don't have the money. I don't have the life. So Jesus says, look, build intangible wealth. Because the thieves can't steal the intangible one. And as long as you have that one, the law will always kick in for you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he becomes. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The immaterial will always produce the material in your life. Anyway, let me read this. Very, very, very important one. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. Moses speaks to a whole nation. And I wish that our country would hear this loud and clear. Matthew 28 verse 1. He said, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord will set you high above all the nations. You will prosper. You will rise beyond your contemporaries. Whatever is limiting people in the environment will not be able to limit you. You align with the principles of God. And all these blessings, verse 2, shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Take the intangible resources from God. And he says, you'll be prosperous. Better than the people around are. If you build your self-esteem, your sense of identity on material things, you are finished. The temptation that Jesus passed will trick you, will trip you up. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread, produce tangible results. How can you be a commissioner and not be able to give 1 million naira at a launching? They are about to deceive you. And many people in this country steal and justify it. How can you occupy the position that you occupy and not be able to do so and so? Produce tangible wealth and prove your value. You will do desperate things, sir, if you define your wealth by the material. The devil took Jesus to the tip of the temple and told him, jump down. You are the Messiah. Show your power. Do something spectacular. Something nobody has done before. Organize a party. The kind that they have never seen in this city. How will they know that your money has arrived? You are about to fall down. You are about to be deceived. The Bible says that the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment and their glory, and said, I will give you all this material if you will give me worship. Why was the devil asking for the intangible in exchange for the tangible? Jesus didn't have the spirit of Esau. He refused. There are Esau nations. There are Jacob nations. There are Esau families. There are Jacob families. There are still Esau's and Jacob's in our world today. The good news, you can change your character by changing your thinking. Eventually, you know what Esau did? He cried. I pray in the name of Jesus that the days of regret are over in your life. In Genesis chapter 14, there was a transaction between Abraham and Melchizedek. I love it. Abraham had just conquered the armies of three countries combined. And he was coming back with the spoils of war and met Melchizedek. Genesis 14 from verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. That was what Melchizedek gave him. How many people have seen blessing with their eyes before? It's intangible. It's invisible. But eventually it produces its material equivalent in your life. Melchizedek blessed him. And the Bible says there, and he, Abraham, gave him a tithe of all. It was an exchange. So when God says in Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, bring your tithes and your offerings, I'll pour you out a blessing that you don't have enough room. You won't have enough room to take. What's he talking about? He wants to give you intangible wealth. He wants to give you ideas. The power of blessing, favor, the thing that causes people to see you and to fall in love with you. He wants to open up avenues for you to acquire skill you never had before. Intangible wealth. And you see my observation there in Genesis 14. The Bible says in verse 21, now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you say, I have made Abraham rich. Ah, help me to tell the person sitting next to you, don't beg. When you have spiritual wealth, sir, nobody can intimidate you with material wealth. When you have the intangible and you value it, you know how rich, how wealthy you are, you will not permit yourself to believe you are poor or broke to the point where you turn somebody else into your source of provision. See, Abraham, he could have taken everything. He was the one who fought the war. He could have taken all that material wealth away. He said, no, I don't need it. I have wealth. If I take this from you now, I would have created the opportunity for you to claim tomorrow that you were the one who made me rich. Stop begging. It's an insult on your position as a child of the living God. Tonight, I challenge us, and this is really where I'm going with this. Develop a prosperity consciousness. Come to the point where you know that you are rich. See yourself as being rich. Think like you are rich. Nobody legitimately acquires wealth in our world without a prosperity consciousness. A knowing deep within you that you are rich, that you are prosperous already. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as what? Your soul prospers. Develop soul prosperity. I'll tell you from my experience that I also used to think that the day I will get a lot of money, I will become rich. But God delivered me. God delivered me. I became rich even when I didn't have money. And then I discovered that the money did not have a choice but to find its way into my account. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And there is nothing on this heart that will not obey God's voice, because everything was created by the word. It was not when millions entered my account that I became a millionaire. When I became a millionaire, the millions had no option but to find their way into my account. Develop prosperity consciousness. Okay, this is the first way to go about it. One, believe what the word of God says about you. Believe what God says about you. It's very, very critical. Who are you? Will you allow this country to define you? Will you allow your experiences to define you? I understand you were born into a poor family. That's okay. It was difficult to pay your school fees. That's right. That's fine. Okay, you couldn't get all the education that you wanted to get. Yes, that's what happened. That was what happened. But who are you? Will you allow your circumstances and your experiences to define you, or will you allow God to define who you are? Let me read a verse of scripture to you. Second Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. He was rich. We were poor. On the cross, a work of substitution happened. He took our place as sinners, so we could take his place as the righteous one in God's presence. Poverty came into our world as a result of sin. The price that he paid for sin was the price he paid for sicknesses and diseases and poverty. So the Bible says here, though he was rich, yet he became poor. On the cross, he became poor. So that you, through that poverty, might become what? Notice it's the word might. Your choice is involved, sir. So, if he became poor on the cross, why should I still be poor? He took the poverty. What do I have left? Prosperity. I am rich. And God won't look only at what you have materially to call you rich or to define your wealth. Because he doesn't only see material wealth, he sees the invisible one also. If God says you are rich, you are what? Rich. Listen to me. Anybody who preaches to you from the Bible and tells you that as a child of God, you are a poor person who needs to struggle, who needs to battle the devil, who needs to try to become rich, has deceived you. It is not New Testament. Old Testament, yes. But New Testament, no. When Jesus hung on that cross, he had no business hanging on the cross. He hung on that cross on your behalf. In the eyes of God the Father, you were the one hanging there. Every price for every sin you ever committed or will commit was paid there. You don't hold the devil a dime anymore. Everything was paid. The you that was supposed to be poor died on the cross of Calvary. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. It is now Christ who can never be broke, who can never be poor, that is now living through me. I am not poor. You are not a poor person struggling to become rich. You are a rich person taking practical steps now and adjusting your thinking to manifest your wealth. Help me to ask your neighbor, who are you? Listen, let's ask that question again. Ask the person, rich or poor, who are you? We have come to the place of warfare because there are battles raging in some people's minds right now. How can I call myself rich Look at the clothes I have on. That's what we are talking about. You are not what you wear. You are not what you have. You are who God says you are. I love it in Acts chapter 3 verse 6. When Peter and John came across the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. Peter said, look on us. The man was looking. He thought they were going to give him money. Peter said, silver and gold, I have none. But what I have. Woo! You know, for some people, it is silver and gold, I have none. Full stop. Once they don't have silver and gold, they don't have naira, pound sterling, they don't have a car, they don't have a house, they are finished. They have no value. They shiver in the presence of somebody who's driving a Pajero. Stop it. You may not have silver and gold now, but you have something. The something that you have will produce the silver and the gold. Listen to me, the silver and the gold know where they are supposed to go. They look for their spiritual equivalent wherever it is. If silver and gold is in the hand of someone who does not have spiritual wealth, it is only there temporarily. It is what we call money means road. Very soon, money go find the road. And it is coming in your direction. If you believe that, say amen. I grew up in a village. I went to school in a village. Okay? The first major part of my primary school was in a village in Niger State. That's history. This is now. And I have an idea about the future. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for me. Say with me, I am not poor. You can't have the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity in your heart and be called poor. Anybody who calls you poor made a big mistake. And there's no point arguing with them, sir. Very soon they will discover the truth. There's a reason why I tell people I can never be poor again the rest of my life. I have found the real thing, sir. And it's not about the economy of this country. I am connected to another economy. It's a superior economy. Gold that is better than the material one that you can handle. I have access. So, first, have a revelation of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Finished, settled forever. Number two, get an idea or revelation from God for each situation of your life. Get an idea or revelation from God for each situation. Peter and his friends who were fishing couldn't get fish all through the night. One sentence from Jesus, and fish rushed in. When God gives you an idea, He's giving you money. He's giving you wealth. Am I right? Are we speaking the same language now? Get an idea from God. That's why you should pray. Meditate. Then your prayer now makes sense and it can produce money. Thirdly, watch your association. Watch your association. The people who are close to you either gives you thoughts of wealth or thoughts of poverty. Watch your associations, sir. The unfortunate thing for the average poor person around is that their best friends are also poor. And when I say poor, I mean people who have a poverty mindset. People who don't have intangible wealth. I can never despise the person who doesn't have a shoe, but who has self-esteem. Who has a positive self-image. Who has spiritual wealth. I can never despise such a person because I know it's just a matter of time that the person's word will become flesh. That the person's dream will attract
its material equivalent, that the person's vision will attract provision. It's a law. I know. I'm talking about the person who thinks broke. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise will be wise. The companion of fools will what? Be destroyed. You can't break it, sir. It's a law. Check the blessed man in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. The first thing the psalmist addresses are his relationships. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. In his law, he does what? He meditates. He dreams day and night. The result in verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth fruit in its season. His leaf also will never wither. And whatever he does will what? That's what we are talking about. That's what we're talking about. When you get home, write the names of the 7 people closest to you. If you are married, your spouse, number 1. You have children, write children, so they take only 1 space. Fill the remaining 5 spaces. When you are done with that list, take a good look at it. You're looking at your future. The quality of your life can't be better than the quality of the lives of the people on that list. It's a law, sir. I didn't say so. It's a law. It's Bible. It's a law. The people who influence your thoughts the most influence your financial well-being. The implication, you change one name on that list, you can change your financial status. Yeah. There are battles raging right now in people's minds. I'm serious. Get a mentor, a financial mentor. Hang around someone who's already producing the kind of results you want. I've had many people say, oh, Bishop Edepo has given Pastor Sam a lot of money. But I know I'm hearing poor people speak. Because their definition of money is paper. It's material. Now, I will tell you this. He's given me money. But not the kind that you think, sir. Because we have hanged around together and he's given me ideas. He's given me vision. Vision about myself, I didn't even realize I was capable of having. He's given me dreams. He's molded for me what is possible. Produced by an African right here. I have looked at him, I've been inspired. Your mentor is a picture of your future. I have said to myself, if he can do it, I can also do it. That has broken limits in my mind. Once the limits break from my mind, the material resources follow. If what you think you should do with your mentor is to take money from the person you are signing in for wretchedness, that's not the use of a mentor. The wisdom of a mentor is more valuable to you than the material wealth of the mentor. I want to get what my mentor is using to attract the material. Watch your association, sir. Had this one. Read. Read. Several years ago, I was walking past a bookshop at Lagos Airport Hotel. I stopped, decided to walk in. This must have been some, maybe 13 years ago or so. I saw a book titled Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I bought it. One of the best investments I ever made with my money. Because the thoughts, the ideas, the insights poured into my mind from Napoleon Hill's book gave me wealth. I can't even quantify how much Napoleon Hill gave me through the book, which I bought for 500 naira only. It is difficult now to quantify because it was from Napoleon Hill's book that I read that thoughts are things, tangible things, that I should learn to give value to thoughts. And I read in the book how to organize those thoughts, act on them till they produce their material equivalent. It's not every part of the book I agree with, but I'll tell you there are powerful principles there because as I read each line, scriptures came to me because of my familiarity with the Bible. That's how I got money from wealthy people, reading their books.
So today also, I have made a commitment, seeing how it works, to give wealth to people. But many people that I am given the wealth don't recognize where I hid the money. And they will not believe that I have given them anything till I give them cash. We give people a lot of cash, but the people who get the greatest wealth from Misa are the ones who get the ideas, who get the thoughts, the concepts, the spiritual wealth. Get education. Get education. Anyone who deprives you of the ability to get education, to train your mind, stole your money. You may not realize it now. You will realize it in the future. Like Esau. It's like the stealing of a birthright. If you couldn't get formal education, educate yourself. Read, sir. Train your mind. I see the heavens open over you. I see the Spirit of God rest upon you like He rested on Jesus. And the way God's voice and revelation, God's resources were made available to Jesus continuously, I see you gain access to dimensions of wealth that nobody in this country ever accessed before. I declare tonight, you are not poor. You are rich. I declare under God that you are prosperous. I declare that the curse of poverty that Satan placed over this country and this continent is finished from your life forever. As Melchizedek blessed Abraham, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. As one who has enjoyed intangible wealth from God, I bless you. I bless you. God said to Abraham, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ. The thing that turns a human being into a magnet. A magnet. That thing rests upon your life tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy by the power of the Holy Spirit. Any wrong definition of who you are and what you have and what you can do that was ever embedded into your mind and heart, tonight, by the power of the Spirit of God, they are destroyed from your mind.